And as we go through our study for this morning in the book of Proverbs, lowering the stress level, lowering your stress level. We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, what is stress? What is stress? I know it when I feel it. But what is stress? A simple definition would be that it's the result of carrying too great of a load. If you ever seen those old bridges, they have a certain limit on the weight that can go across that bridge, because they know if they have a truck or some load that goes across that bridge that's greater than that level, the stress will be too much for that bridge. Eventually, that bridge could give out if you keep on putting that kind of stress on it. Well, the same thing is with anything else. When you put too much stress on, too much weight on it, it affects it in an adverse way, whether it be a foundation or a bridge or a road or a life. So we have feelings of stress when we have too much that we're carrying, too great of a load. Whether it be in our relationships or in our work or dealing with time or with money, whatever area of our life, if we're carrying too much, we're going to feel stress. And that will, a lot of times, affect us adversely. So I want to talk about lowering the stress level because, you know, in our country, everybody has stress. Everybody has stress. We have a lot of things. We're very busy. How many would say, I'm not very busy? I have a lot of free time. It's one, two. You're students. You should be having a lot of stuff. What are you talking about? So if you go to some other cultures, they seem to just take their time. And you're going, why? I don't know if I'm really having to shift down here to try to, you know, fit in with their pace here. And here in America, we just go, 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 go. But we don't realize a lot of times that we have a lot of stress. You know, years ago, I was driving my boss's wife's 240Z. Yeah, he said, uh-oh. And I was just zipping around those foothills, you know. But I was also very tired, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And as I came around the curve, I woke up as I was flying off the road, and that's all I remember, just flying off the road. And there's nothing I couldn't get it back on the road. There's nothing I could have done. And I just said, okay, here we go. See you in a minute, Lord. And over, I went over the fence, apparently, because I was in a field, and the car had, it was just total. I felt bad about that. But I had to go to the hospital. I was in the hospital for a day or so, and the Lord touched me, and I thought, wow, this is great. I don't have any internal injuries. My back is not broken. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm a little bruised, a little sore, but I'm ready to go. So I'll go back to work the next day. You know, after I've been in the hospital one day, the next day I go to work. And I get on the phone. You know, somebody's calling and they have a problem, so I get on the phone. Yes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more I listened to him, the more stress I felt. I felt it. I realized that my body was worn out and I wasn't going to be able to handle any stress. Just about everything stressed me out. I didn't realize, it was just curious to me how much stress we carry and we don't even realize it. We don't even know that there are certain things, we're just used to it. Our body is just used to it. Our life is so stressful a lot of times that we don't even realize that we're under stress. So, sometimes you may not be aware of it, but the people around you are. They know that you're stressed. You may not even be aware of it. So here's some things that you can do that will help lower your stress level. First of all, the first point, set priorities in your life. Set priorities in your life. Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the Message says this. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Now, notice the two things here that he's paralleling. Planning versus hurrying and scurrying. In other words, one is order, the other is chaos. One brings some sense of serenity, the other one brings sense of stress. The two are combined here to show us the difference. So when you want to feel stress, don't have any priorities in your life. Don't make any plans. Just let things happen to you. And you're going to find yourself very stressful after a while, because you won't be making choices that you want to make. Choices will be made for you. And the things that you want to get done, the things you need to get done, the things you need to have in your life, etc., will not happen. Now, we in our country, in our society, have many, many choices. Going to the grocery store has become stressful, especially if you bring your family. Because you weren't intending to buy any of those things, but now we're going to buy them because everybody has a, you know, I was just going to pick this and this would be fine. But no, they want this one. No, I like these kind. And pretty soon you got 20 different things, right? You have so many choices. You can pick four or five of everything. And all of them are different. Everything in our life is that way. Television is that way. You have, I've seen programs that are, I can't believe are programs. There is a program about something. I'm going, my, and this is a series that's been going on for 3 years on cupcakes? Oh, my Lord. I can't believe this. I mean, we have tons of choices about things we can have in our life. And the thing is, though, you can't have everything. You can't possibly watch all the shows on TV. At one time, that could be possible. Now, there's no way. You can't choose everything that you see. You can't have everything you want. You have to make choices. You have to set priorities. And in your life, there are a lot of things that you can choose to do. But you have to choose the things that are going to be best for you. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself stressed out. So, here's an example. I was talking to the assistant athletic director at Lincoln High School yesterday, and he was just sharing about his life. And his daughter plays volleyball. And for you don't know about volleyball, they have a couple things that they do. In fact, you can play volleyball all year. Every month of the year, you can play for some kind of organized sports activity, you can play volleyball. So, and his daughter also plays baseball. And she's very good at baseball. She loves both of them. And she wanted to do both. She wanted to play club volleyball. Now, club volleyball goes until June. Starts in, I believe, sometime in January or February and goes on to June. Softball's in that period, too. So it ends maybe in May. So somehow he thought, we could do that. We can do both. No problem. He said about May, when the softball ended, we hit a wall. And we couldn't do any more. We were so exhausted. I was so stressed that I just got exhausted trying to get to all the games, do all these things, make sure. It was just, our life was so packed that I couldn't do it all. So he says, guess what? You're going to do the same next year? No. No, he's made some priorities. Priority number one is that he's going to have his daughter play softball, baseball. That's it. Volleyball, club volleyball is gone. That's done. Not doing that anymore. Why? Because I can't do everything. I have to set priorities. I have to say, this is what I'll choose, and that, it's nothing wrong as far as that's concerned. There's nothing evil about playing volleyball, but I can't do it because this is my priority. Now, this has to do with us as Christians. There's things in our life that we need to do, and we can't do everything. So you have to set the priorities in your life, and as you set priorities, you know what not to do. You ever have a to-do list, and the more you think about it, the longer it gets? And there's some of those things that probably shouldn't be on that to-do list. You should make a not-to-do list. I don't have enough time to do this if I'm going to do this. Does this make any sense? You set priorities. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I need to do. This is what God wants me to do. And this is the area that I need to focus on. All these things are not evil, but I don't have time. So I'm not going to be able to do these things. So these are not to do list. I'll have to get my kids to do them. No, I better not do that because that'll be me doing it anyhow. So, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so setting priorities can lower your stress. Now, here's another scripture in this vein. A hardworking farmer has plenty to eat, but it is stupid to waste time on useless projects. Now, notice the two things here. Hardworking and waste of time. Okay? You can be hardworking, working hard, doing things that are a waste of time. And you'll find that you won't have plenty. In other words, you won't prosper because you're spending all your time on things that are not productive toward the priorities in your life. So the farmer has these certain projects, certain things that he's going to be doing, and he has to set his focus on those. There's other things he could spend his time on, some things he might even enjoy doing, but if he does them, he won't have time to do what is necessary to do. Now, my question is, have you determined in your life what are time wasters? Or do any of you have time wasters in your life? Okay? You need to identify, what are the things that are a waste of my time? Now, how do you know what is a waste of your time? Let's see. Well, your priorities can help you determine that. Because if you have something you really know that you need to do and you focus, you set that at the top and say, this is, I'm going to think about this more than I think about other things, and you focus on that, that'll determine what things are not really worth thinking about because they don't fit with this. But number two, you'll find sometimes, have you ever lost something and you can't find it? And it's been missing for 3 or 4 months? But you happen to find it after 3 or 4 months and you realize you didn't miss it. After a while, you forgot that it was missing. You did perfectly fine without it. Well, that's probably something that's not necessary. I have a garage full of a lot of things that are not necessary. If they were gone, I would never know that they were gone because I never use them. But I got them there. I know they're in there somewhere. And I go through the garage sometimes, I find, oh, that is really, I'm glad I found that again. I like that thing, but I'll never use it. I got some tools and things that I forgot what they're used for now. I've had them so long and I don't ever use them. They're useless. They're, you know, and there are a lot of things that like that in our life. if we cut them out of our life, and we've had them out of our life for several months, we wouldn't know that they were gone. It wouldn't affect the quality of our life one bit. So it's not so much all the things you have to do. Maybe it's the things that you shouldn't be doing that you sometimes have to focus on so you'll have less stress, because you can't do everything. And there are things that are time wasters. They are a waste of your time. They take away from what you need to do. Now, I think for me, time wasters are like lint that gather toward my clothes in the dryer. They seem to just come at me and stick to me. I don't know if that's a picture you can get in your mind there, but it's like as I'm going through my day, I got a lot of these little time wasters just want to stick to me and just want to be a part of my life. I kind of enjoyed them a little bit. You know, I might, well, oh, what's that story about on the, there goes 10 minutes. Whoop. And I got to battle it, because these little time wasters will just take, and pretty soon it takes me several hours to do something that should have taken me 10 minutes. Maybe some of you ladies have that problem when you go into your house and you see all these little things that need to be done. They need to be done. But I need to do this more. Oh, what if I just, well, I'll just, all that. Pretty soon you forgot what you came in there to do, because you got all these little time wasters came in. Does this make any sense? Do we relate to any of these things? Okay. So having priorities really frees you from those things, because you stay focused. You say, this is what I really need to do. Yes, that's I could do that. And I could do this, and that's something should be done sometime, but it's not my priority right now, and I can't do it. And what happens is that you get stress if you fill your life with a lot of time wasters, because that thing that needs to be done is still going to be need to be done, and it will start to shout at you and say, hello, I'm still here to be done. Oh, I don't have any time for it now. Oh, man, I'll do it tomorrow. And then, you know, and finally, there's something that's really starting to scream, and you feel a lot of stress because here it comes. It's got to be done now, and I wasted all that time doing time wasters, and I brought stress into my life because of that. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, I gave you three different areas: my family, my job, and my personal life. Okay, I want you to write three things you know God wants you to do. One item in each of these three areas. Only one. Okay, one item. Write in that note there, my family. Something God wants me to do has to relate to my family. One thing God wants me to do has to relate to my job. One thing that God wants me to do that relates to my personal life. And make that a priority and start working on it tomorrow or even today after church. Start working on that. Now, you don't have to have hours to work on it. Just work on a little bit if that's all the time you have. But you're starting to tackle that. It's something you really need to do. And you need to have that built up in your mind. Say, this is where I want to go with my life. God wants me to go this direction with my life. And I need to make this a priority. And you write those things down. Okay? Now, here's something that when you are planning, you are going to have times when your plans don't come together. Right? Anybody experience any of that happening in your life? Where your plans do not come together. All right? That can bring stress into your life. Do you ever feel stressful when the things that you plan to do and they just don't happen and it was beyond your control? You couldn't do anything about that. It just happened. And you feel stress. And you... See, when you live in the real world, there will be exceptions. There will be things that will happen that you didn't expect to happen. Because sometimes your priorities are not God's priorities. Did you know that? Sometimes what you think is important, God does not think is very important. So there will be times when he'll cancel your priority, so to speak, okay? So Proverbs 16:9 says this, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Now, that's an easy verse to memorize, by the way. Just put that one on your refrigerator. It'll be very encouraging. All right? So you find that you're involved in something you want to get done, and you feel like it's supposed to be done, and you're trying to get it done, and there seems to be all kinds of obstacles in your way to keep you from doing it. So you double your efforts. You work even harder to get it done. And there seems to be more obstacles, more frustrating situations that come, and you can't get it done. So what do? You look for somebody to blame. That's what you do. You look for somebody to blame. Somebody to be angry at. Somebody to release your frustrations on, so that you won't be as frustrated and as stressful. You just pour it out on somebody else. Do you find that works for you? Does it relieve your stress? I don't think so. Usually it has a backlash and it gets worse. So here's a story that we probably have heard before in Luke chapter 10. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 10? And verse 38, start with verse 38, Luke 10, 38. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Some of you have that. And it says, As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" Do you sense any anger in that statement? Can you read a little anger underneath that? Okay. "Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said, "Okay, I'll do it right away. Be with you in a second." No, he didn't do that. He says, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details.'" Oh boy. "There's only one thing worth being concerned about." Priorities there. "Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now notice this. She had a plan. She had a dinner that she was preparing. She thought it was necessary that this be a big dinner, that everything would just be just right, that things would... She wanted... Was it necessary? Yeah, as far as she's concerned, that's necessary. Was the Lord saying, "Yeah, you're right, this is necessary"? No, he didn't. He did not think it was necessary. She was frustrated about something that she didn't need to be frustrated about. Sometimes we're frustrated about things that we shouldn't be frustrated about, because obviously the Lord does not see the necessity of it for us right at that time. We need to give it up. I can't give it up. Yes, you got to. You have to release it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, you must not have this planned for me today." In your mind, though, it's like the minimum has to be this. It has to go this way. This is my plan. I had this planned out. And God says, "No. This is what's important. You don't even have what's important up there. You've got something that's not as important." So the Lord will be helping you with that, and you'll find that you have stress in your life that God never intended you to have, because you're carrying something that he doesn't want you to carry. Does this make any sense? Now, here's the next principle I want you to do. Create a little breathing room in your life. Create a little breathing room in your life. Proverbs 17:24. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Going three different ways at once. Okay? That's a person whose life is so full that they're just spinning. They're trying to do too much. And when you try to do too much, it's a source of stress. Okay? I get this picture sometimes in my mind when I think about this. They used to have this on, I forget what, way old variety show had this once. I saw it as a kid. And this guy would have these long sticks, and then he put a plate on it, and then he spin the plate. He'd get it going. And then he get another plate, spin that one. Now he's got two going. Now he's putting three. And pretty soon he's got 12 plates, and he's jumping from here and there, trying to spin them all. How many have a life like that? If you slow down even a half a second, plates start to fall. You have no room to make any mistakes. Everything has to go perfect. Everything has to go as planned. And if there's anything that goes not exactly right, you got a disaster on your hand. It all falls apart. That's a person who has no breathing room. Nothing unexpected can ever happen. Nothing unplanned can ever happen. And guess what? Life isn't that way. Unexpected things will happen. Things you did not plan for will take place. So if you want to have stress, have no breathing room, that hiccups can happen in your life. And you will have stress. Notice in Psalm 90, verse 12. This is a psalm written by Moses. And he says, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. Okay, that we may grow in wisdom. We've been talking about wisdom quite a bit in the book of Proverbs. One of the ways to grow in wisdom is have the Lord teach you how to make the most of your time. Okay, now another version states it this way. New International Reader's Version said this. Teach us to realize how short our lives are. Then our hearts will become wise. Teach us to realize how short our lives are. Then our hearts will become wise. In other words, we can't fit everything into the time that we have. We have a limited amount of time. You only have 24 hours in a day. That's all. There's not 26, not 25, not 24 and a half. It's 24. And you can't make any more. Once it's gone, it's gone. And how you use it, once it's used, it's used. So you have to be wise in how you use your time, because there'll be a moment when you have no more time. Have you done the things that you need to do? Have you done the things that God wants you to do? Because you can only fit so much. And if you try to carry too many things, it's all going to fall apart. You know, I get a picture in my mind of a little kid who's trying to help their parents carry out the groceries from the car. And they've just loaded themselves. And you can just look at them and you say, oh, those tomatoes are going to go. That cantaloupe, it's on the ground. Oh, those eggs, oh my. They're carrying all those things. They're going to get five steps and it's all fallen. They can't carry all that. That's too much to carry. They need to put some of those things down. But I'm big. I can handle it. I can do it. Dad, don't touch me. I can do it. Well, if you want to lose stuff, let him do it. The same thing with our life. There's some things that we're carrying too many things. These are things that we're not supposed to carry. Our lives are too full. That's what we have in America. We have lives that are too full. We're not made to live that way. We're made to have downtime. That's what Sunday is about. Time of rest. So you have some time to rejuvenate. If you don't have time to rejuvenate, the stress will be eventually you have too much stress. So are you carrying too many things on Sunday? If you're carrying too many things on Sunday, you need to start cutting things out. So you have some time to rest. When I say rest, that means something that rejuvenates you. Do you have anything that rejuvenates you? Well, maybe you should put that on your list then. That is something that is a priority then for you on Sundays. Something that rejuvenates me. Getting money in the mail is not one of those things. You can't count on that. But you need to have that in your life, make that a priority. Now, here's another thing that'll bring stress. As we go through our life here in the United States, we find that there's always someone who wants to sell us something. There is something worth buying, and they tell you the reason why it's so worthwhile to buy. And pretty soon, you need it. You ever felt that? I need this. And pretty soon, you need a lot of things. And you just need to get these things. And what that does, it creates a desire, it creates a drive to buy, to spend. Now here's the thing, what I'm talking about here. Spending more than you have brings stress. Spending more than you have, carrying more bills than you can pay for is going to lead to stress. So you need to have a little breathing room, a little cushion, so that when things come up that you didn't expect to have to pay for come up, you'll have the breathing room to be able to pay them, and you don't have all this stress. You know, this is how people get behind. They're expecting their budget to go exactly as they have planned. Everything is going to cost exactly what they had put for it to cost. And there's no thing will change because it'll all balance out just exactly like I want it to because I have all these listed, right? Have you ever had that work out for you like that where everything goes? I've never had it like that. It never works out that way. Yeah, the kids need, okay, that's fine. And how much did you, oh my. I know they needed it. It's good. That's good. It's all good. I got breathing room, so no problem. I counted on having to have breathing room. But if I didn't, okay, well, then let's just put it on the card. It's easy to put on the card, and it's easy to get it off. No, it isn't. Once it's on, it's hard to get off. Amen? It's in the Bible, right there. So here's what happens. Proverbs 28:25 says, a person who always wants more stirs up fights, but anyone who trusts in the Lord will succeed. So there seems to be two things here on that first part. Someone who always wants more will have fights. Tell me, are fights stressful or are they peace-inducing? They're stressful. They bring stress. So when you have this drive to always have more, it'll cause fights. Why? Because you'll find yourself spending more than you have, and their wants and your wants together cause fights because they spent more than they should, you spent more than you should. And pretty soon you got two people who have less than they should. And whose fault is it? Of course, it's their fault. They spent more. Did you not spend more? See, there we go. End of the argument. You spent more. That's why we... I had to spend this. This is what we needed. We needed this too. You see this problem coming up? It can really cause a problem. So what you have to do is say, if the Lord wants me to have it, He'll provide for it, and I'll still maintain my cushion. I'll still have a little breathing room. And if I can't maintain my breathing room, the Lord doesn't want me to have it. And I'll just trust Him for it. Okay? That's how that works. Because once you find yourself starting to get into financial straits, then comes worry. Tell me, here's another question. I'm sure you guys got the answer on this one. Is worry peace-inducing, or is it stressful? It brings stress. Notice this verse in Ecclesiastes. The more you worry, the more likely you are to have bad dreams. When you get stressed, you have nightmares. You have nightmares in your life, and the nightmares go to bed with you. And make it so that you can't sleep at night. Pretty soon you don't have the energy you used to have. You're so stressed because of worry. Stress will make it so that you can't sleep. Now here's the thing that is a general principle. Do not add anything to your life without taking something out of your life. Okay? Don't add anything to your life without taking something out of your life. Now, that may be one of the harder decisions, because usually we add things to our life because we think we need to have them in our life, but we can't get rid of anything because we need those things too. Well, pretty soon you're going to be stacking things onto your life and you won't be able to carry them. You need to take some things out. So before, not while you've added them, before you add them, you got to find out, what can I get rid of? And it may be something good. Maybe something you want. But you can't have them all. You have to get rid of something. Otherwise, you'll have no margin in your life. You'll have no breathing room. And disaster will be coming down the road sooner or later. Finally, you need to make time to set your heart on God. Make time to set your heart on God. Proverbs 10:27 says this, reverence for God adds hours to each day. Now that's an interesting promise, isn't it? Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Now I told you that you can't get any more than 24 hours. But somehow, if you have reverence for the Lord, He'll add hours to your day. Now how does that work? He makes the hours that you have more efficient. He'll make it so that you can get more done that you need to get done if you have reverence for Him. Now, what does that mean? You need to take your time with Him. You need to make time with Him and take that seriously as something very important, to set your heart on Him. See, stress is a warning light. Whenever I get under stress, it means I'm taking my eyes off on the Lord and put it on something else. I'm either looking at my circumstances or I'm looking toward the Lord. And reverence for the Lord adds time. I don't know exactly how it works, but it works. It's like tithing. I give money to the church, and I only have 90% of what I usually have in my paycheck. Okay? But somehow, God takes that 90% and causes it to be stretched so that it covers everything that the 100% would cover. I don't know how it works, but it works. It's about faith. Trusting God, putting Him first in my life. So I only have, you know, 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week, and I don't know how many hours in a month. I haven't figured that far. I'm only at a week at a time right now. That's how far I go. But God will take care of those things. Now, here's the main point. You can either take yourself too seriously, or you can take God seriously. Either you take yourself too seriously, or you don't take God seriously enough. When you reverence God, you're taking Him seriously. He is important. So when you take and you spend time with Him, it gives you strength for the day. Notice it says, reverence for God gives a man deep strength. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. See, if I don't have enough time for God, if I'm too busy for God, I'm too busy. Something has to be taken off the list so that I will have time for God. When I have time with the Lord and I'm just in His presence, stress leaves me. When I have a clearer picture of God, then I become more like God. The people you spend time with, a lot of times, they rub off on you and you become like them. The more time I spend with God, the more I become like Him. Now, have you noticed that God is never stressed? He is never stressed. Jesus was never stressed. He said, okay, guys, okay, you know, no. He was never stressed. He was always peaceful. He always had what He was going to do. He was able to, he was the Prince of Peace. I want that to rub off on me. I want to have a sense of peace about me. No matter what happens in my life, I'm an island of peace in that storm. How do you have that? You're with the Prince of Peace. You let His peace rub off on you, and you trust Him to be the one that's in charge of your life. Because He is in charge of your life, whether you realize it or not. By you giving Him control and you're surrendering to His life, and you do that every morning, do that every day, you'll have greater peace. Now, I'm working on all of these things myself. I don't have it, you know, I may be stressed at times. But I know what's wrong. And God helps me to get back on track so I'm not stressed. Now, here's a good verse. We've studied this before. But Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord completely. Verse 6. And everything you do, put God first. And He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Notice that. He will direct you and He'll crown your efforts. In other words, He'll steer you past all those things that will waste your time if you let Him lead you. And you'll have success. You put it all into your hands, it may not happen the way you want it to happen, the way you feel like God wants it to happen. Okay? And when I focus on God, it really puts things in the proper perspective. I don't take on the weight of the problems. I let God take on the weight of the problems. Because I find that a lot of times if I don't spend time with the Lord, God starts to shrink for some reason. It's like putting clothes in the dryer that you shouldn't put in the dryer. They shrink. When I don't have time with God, it seems as though He shrinks. He becomes smaller. Because actually, I'm a little bigger than Him. I got to take over things from Him because I just can't give it to Him. You ever tried that? Oh, I'll give it to You, Lord. Whoa, wait a minute. Maybe I should take it back. Why is that? That's because God shrunk. He's not as big as He should be in your mind. So when I spend time with God and I realize and just meditate on that and just rest in that, that God becomes bigger and He's able to handle more things than I thought He could. Matthew 11:28 says this: "Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads." Amen to that. Anybody who have heavy loads, tired, heavy loads? He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." That's what you need to do. You need to come to the Lord, spend time with Him, and let Him give you rest. Let Him de-stress you. Let Him just, so that you can unwind. Now, some of you tried this on Sunday mornings, and I have to wake you up. Do it when you get home. De-stress. But spend time with the Lord. Maybe have a song that you like. And just listen to the song and think about maybe a phrase from that song that speaks to you, and use it as a prayer for the Lord, to the Lord. Vary your things that you do when you have time with the Lord, so that you will have your heart set on Him, and not all your problems, not all your concerns, not all the things that would preoccupy you, but your heart is set on Him. So here's the question: what do you have your heart set on? Only you can answer that. Only you know what that might be. Set your heart on the Lord so that He can direct your life and lead it to success. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You want us to have peace. You want us to have a sense of serenity. You want us to have a sense of purpose, a sense of direction, knowing that our lives are in Your hands. Father, we pray that You would help us to put these things into our life. Lord, as we examine our lives in the different areas, whether it be our family, whether it be our job, whether it be our personal life, Lord, that You would show us what You want to be first. What project, what activity, what thing is a priority that You'd want? And help us to orient our lives so that we find ourselves walking in unison with You. We thank You, Lord, and we pray these things in Your name. Amen.